Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Well, good day to you. Welcome to the DL Link Show, where we connect you through insights, information, and illumination right here on 101.9 Chai FM. So I do hope that you are having a good month of September. Time certainly is flying. Rosh Hashanah just around the corner, but certainly here in Joburg, beautiful to see the wonderful blossoms starting to appear. I don't know if you ever get to walk through the streets and what were once dry, kind of bare trees, all of a sudden those buds are starting to burst and these magnificent green leaves in the most vibrant green. It's honestly my best time to look at these fresh green leaves. So I do hope that you're taking some time out of your busy day, busy schedule, to look at those small little miracles, the small beautiful things that are happening around us all the time. Sometimes we can get so bogged down by all the heaviness, all the things, all the challenges that are happening. Also, if you are in preparation for Rosh Hashanah, with it just being around the corner, and you like to send e-cards to those people that you love, well, you can celebrate the new year with a beautiful e-card from the DL Link. So you just need to go to the website because you can send heartfelt messages to loved ones and wish them, obviously, a happy new year. So visit dllink.co.za today. Share your best wishes for a sweet new year while supporting Cancer Warriors. That is the dllink.co.za. Happy Rosh Hashanah, just around the corner. Now, also September is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. So on the show today, we have Dr. Natasha Daniels, who not only is she a doctor, she's a childhood cancer survivor, and she's a Cupcake Angel Ambassador. So she's joining us on the show to share her story and her motivations and why she does what she does. So Natasha, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me today. I really appreciate it.
You know, it's just amazing to look at you today, 28-year-old, you're a doctor. We go back to when you were 15 years old, when you were diagnosed with cancer. And just to see, you know, this journey that you've been on and where you are now giving back, it's always so uplifting, Natasha. So let's go back to when you were 15 years old, because we know that around 80% of all child cancers globally occur in low and middle income countries. And fewer than a third of children are diagnosed in these countries. And of those that are treated, less than 20% survive. So it's really, really important that we share all stories, that we share your story, and that we, you know, that we really make a big sing and dance with Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. So if you could just take us back and yeah, when you were 15, how did your journey begin?
So basically, you know, when I was 15, I was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia, which is actually one of the most common childhood cancers. But at the age of 15 and being quite a fairly healthy and active child, cancer never crossed my mind or my family's mind. And it's such a small word, but it has such a huge impact. And I could have never prepared for the way it was about to change my life and my family's life. So prior to being diagnosed, I was sick for about 6 months before that, 5 to 6 months. And we were going from doctor to doctor to try to find out what was wrong. And, you know, it was the flu. It was an upper respiratory tract infection. It was anemia. But nobody really got to a diagnosis for quite some time until I became very, very ill. And eventually in May of 2011, I was diagnosed with cancer. And it was just, wow, it was like, how is this happening to me? Isn't this something that actually happens to older people? You know, I was so confused because I thought that this doesn't happen to kids. It happens to old people. But if you just look at the recent statistics, I mean, more than 400,000 children and adolescents are diagnosed with cancers every single year. So it's actually not as uncommon as we think it is, you know? And my journey began. My treatment began immediately after that, and it was quite a long journey. I received like chemotherapy for about 5 years long, before I could stop all the treatment. But yeah, by God's grace, I'm still here today.
Wow, Natasha. So, I mean, as you say, what a shock how your life changes, your life and your family's life. Being at the age of 15, you know, you should be starting to become more aware of yourself, and at that time in those teenage years, it can be so up and down, and now you've got this, right, this to navigate. And so did you move into a pediatric ward? Were you treated and then you went home? What was your experience?
So immediately after I was diagnosed, I started my treatment, and I think it was sort of a blessing that I was placed in a pediatric ward because I was surrounded by kids all the time. And for the first few months of my treatment, I spent most of my time in hospital because I was quite sick. And when I got my first round of chemo, sure, it hit me hard. Like it really, really hit me hard. The first 2 days, I was like, okay, I've got this, I can do this. But then day three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, it was really difficult. And I became really sick. So I spent a lot of time in hospital. And I was in a pediatric ward. And that was kind of a blessing because I was surrounded by all these young kids. And when I talk about young kids, they were like 6, 7 years old. And it was also such a shock to think that what I'm going through, they are also going through. But there was such a difference in how we approached our illness, if I could say that. Like you said, I was a teenager at that time. So I was really sitting in my pettiness and self, feeling sorry for myself and thinking, why me? And, you know, very sad and confused about this whole situation. But the kids that I was surrounded by, they just wanted to be kids, you know, and they were running up and down the corridors. They were making a noise. They were playing. Yes, they had their sick days where they were also in bed and they didn't do well. But they had such an eagerness to be well, and they were so resilient. So just to watch that and to witness that every day, it really motivated me. So being in a pediatric ward was really such a blessing in disguise, actually.
It definitely sounds like that. I wonder, Natasha, like in the beginning, you know, being this teenager and being with all these young kids and thinking, oh my goodness, you know, surrounded by young sick children, was there a resistance in the beginning, and then that changed as you say, you met these children who were just filled with a joyful, you know, attitude towards life, most of them.
Definitely, you know, I mean, I had very tough days as well, but during this time, I mean, the other patients and the other families were there to support you. And to see how resilient kids are, you just think to yourself, like, if they can do it, so can I. You know, I can also fight. I don't have to stay in this place. I'm not going to get the answers of why me or why did this happen to me. I'm probably not going to get those answers, but I can fight because they are fighting, you know? So it was really motivating, and I think it really uplifted my spirits, and I was really glad I was placed in that ward. And we became like family, you know, because you spend so much time there. So everybody's sort of intertwined, and their win is your win. So yeah, it's just really nice.
And I
It,
think
which
it's
is a weird
so.
thing to say, a
No,
difficult
it
time, but
isn't. Yeah.
people really made the journey so much lighter, if I could say that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's such an important point, Natasha. I mean, this show, the DL Link show, is all about linking people through when you're having these difficult times, supporting so you're never alone. And so often, when I talk to cancer warriors, they talk about support, family, friends, and how that carries them through. And you know, this is what you're saying, the support of these young children around you. And I watched a video of yours where you talk about a young girl. Was her name Sibongile?
Bonga Konke,
Siyabonga,
yes.
oh, please tell us. She sounded amazing.
Sure, I mean, there were so many kids that I met along the way, and sometimes I'll just sit and wonder, where are these kids in life, and do they know that the impact that they actually had on me and how much they actually helped me? But she was about 5, 6 years old at the time that I was in hospital, and sure, I was just laying in bed most of the time, and she was learning how to walk. She just had a surgery where they had to remove a tumor in her leg. If I remember correctly, she had osteosarcoma, which is also a very common childhood cancer. And there was just one day where she would walk into my room. She would walk into my room actually quite often, all of them. And she came to me and she saw that I was just laying there, not really interacting or not smiling or not even trying to eat. And she just looked at me like, you know what, it's going to be okay. Tomorrow is going to be a better day. Tomorrow you can try again. And I thought to myself, at the age of 6, and you're so wise and you are fighting. And, she was alone in the hospital because her parents had to work. But my parents or somebody would always be there for me. So I was so lucky and I had so much support. And going through this journey, my family, my friends, my school, everyone really supported me. But the support I didn't expect to get was from these kids, from these strangers, from all the other patients in the ward. And like you say, support goes such a long way, and it really makes the journey so much lighter.
So, I mean, 5 years of chemotherapy. I mean, you talk about that first week, how horrific that was. And I'm sure, I don't know at times it got better or if it didn't, but you had 5 years of it. And here you are at the age of 28, a doctor. So, did you always want to be a doctor? Was your experience something that pushed you in that direction? Tell us why you decided to become a doctor.
So I think in the beginning, I always had an interest in science. Yes, there was doctor, perhaps a teacher, perhaps an engineer. I wasn't too sure at that moment. And then I was diagnosed with cancer. And to be honest with you, I hated hospital. It was a fight every single time to go to hospital. I did not want to be there. I was one of those patients that immediately when I get there, I was, when am I going home? When am I going home? Especially in the beginning stages. But God really changed my heart towards the end. And this whole experience changed the trajectory of my life, if I could say that. And I always knew that one day I want to come back. I want to come back and I want to help the same way that I was helped. I want to raise awareness on this. I want to let people know that this is such a common thing that actually happens, even though we think it isn't. So, after going through this whole journey in the beginning, it was hard. But afterwards, I feel like I found purpose through it all,
And you went along and you studied, and you're a doctor. And now, I mean, I can only imagine, with all of your experience, you're able to bring all your empathy and your understanding and looking at a big picture and a small picture and everything combined, that you just have something really special in your toolkit. Do you lean more towards working with children or are you a general GP?
So last year I finished my community service, and then afterwards, unfortunately, I was one of the doctors who was unemployed and struggling to find a job. But then late in the year, I was able to join a GP practice. So that's where I am currently. I do love kids. I love kids very dearly. So God willing, in the future, I will be able to pursue a career in that. But now I'm very happy where I am. I am learning every single day, and I think there's value to learning in the private and the public sector as well. So I'm trying to learn as much as I can over here, and then God willing, we'll see how it goes in the future. But yes, I love kids, I'm very
Fantastic.
excited when I see children as patients.
Well, which is why you've joined the Cupcakes of Hope and you've become an ambassador. Now we've had them on the show a couple of times. Perhaps you can just tell us how you became a cupcake angel ambassador.
So, I actually learned about Cupcakes of Hope through social media. But last year, particularly last year, with National Cupcake Day, I simply just emailed one of the coordinators and I told them, like, I'm really keen to help and just keen to contribute. And then they said, okay, very warming, very welcoming team. And that was my first sort of encounter and experience with them. And that day, it's like the bug bit me, basically. And I was like, this is what I want to do. This, I really want to be involved in this organization. I have seen all the amazing things and the significant things that they do in the lives of kids with cancer. And I thought that I definitely want to be a part of this. They have done so many amazing things. And throughout this year, I've been privileged to be part of many of that. So, yeah, it's been a really lovely experience so far, I must say.
Now they assist families financially, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
So,
And yes.
yeah, sorry. So over the past like monthly, they probably assist over 200 patients, just with day-to-day needs, medical bills, finances. The thing is also there's a lot of hidden costs that we don't really think about. Being a cancer patient, yes, it's your treatment, and that is very expensive. But we also have to think of all the other hidden costs. What about transport? We're constantly going to the hospital, not just for our v scheduled visits, but also for unscheduled visits. It's the assistive devices that some patients may need, maybe like crutches or a wheelchair. What about suction machines that some patients need as well? Some patients also need air mattresses. So there's a lot of hidden costs that we don't think about. Even nutrition. Nutrition is such a big thing because obviously when you're on chemotherapy, you lose your appetite. You don't really eat so well, but you need to eat to get some energy and to fight this illness. So nutrition and food is also a big thing. So there's a lot of hidden costs that we don't think about. And Cupcakes of Hope helps family with all of these costs, including medical bills as well.
So, as an ambassador, what do you do? Do you help raise funds? I know that there's an event coming up on the 28th of September. What is your role?
So, as an ambassador, my main purpose is to raise awareness of about cancer, to talk to people about it, and to also educate people on the early warning signs of cancer. With that being said, we also help with fundraisers. So, throughout the year, we have multiple fundraisers, and different companies and schools can host their own Cupcakes of Hope or a party of hope, can I say that? So I've been involved in quite a few of those as well to raise funds for the organization, and I've hosted my own party of hope as well a few times. So yeah, that's basically what I've been helping with. And then on National Cupcake Day, of course, I'll definitely also be there helping out to raise awareness and to raise funds for the organization.
Brilliant. And that, as I said, is on the 28th of September, I think,
Yes,
Natasha.
it is. Yes, it is.
28th,
And anybody can
National
get
Cupcake
involved.
Day. Yes, it says here, National Cupcake Day for Kids with Cancer, 28th of September, 2024. And you'll tell us how people can get involved. But before we do say goodbye to you and you give us those details, I just wanted to ask you from your experience, what do you think some of the biggest challenges that children with cancer and their families face?
So first, it's such a huge emotional and mental battle. Yes, it's physical. It's definitely physical. But I think it's such an emotional and mental battle as well. Kids are definitely more resilient. But I think as a teenager, it was such a difficult time in my life because, as you say, you're learning about yourself. You are comparing yourself to other people. And now on top of this, you're dealing with that. So I think the emotional and mental aspect is a really big struggle, and for families as well. If I just think about my own family and how helpless they would feel many times when I was ill, I think that was a very big struggle for them. And then above that, it's also the financial strain that it takes on families and everything that they have to provide for their children to ensure that they get the best treatment,
Did you have counselors, psychologists to support you from that mental perspective, emotional,
Yes,
mental perspective?
there was definitely, in the hospital that I was at, the social working team was very excellent. So there was definitely counseling that was provided. And above that, our church and my school also made sure that I was okay. But I think that the most comfort that I received was from the other patients who were going through the same thing together. I think
Yeah.
that really helped the most, definitely.
Natasha, this is, as we said, it's Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. You are a Cupcake Angel ambassador. You have a story. You have had the journey. You're giving back. So before we say goodbye, what message do you think is really important for our audience to hear with regards to Childhood Cancer Awareness Month?
I think that, and this is the message that we're actually trying to promote, is that early detection saves lives. Early detection saves lives. And the only way to make sure that cancer is detected early is to know the warning signs. And that's the message that we want to get out there, to educate people on what to look out for in their kids. It's not normal for a child to be sick for 5 to 6 months, you know, going from doctor to doctor, jumping from a GP to a GP to find out what's wrong with their child. But if I think back, if we knew the early warning signs, we would have known immediately the path to take. So that's the main message. And that's the main message around the organization as well. We want to help, we support families, we help survivors, we celebrate those who gained their angel wings. But above all, we want to ensure that detection is happening early.
So really make sure that if your child is sick and this continues over a period of time,
yes,
you know, so take that investigation a little bit further. I mean, obviously we don't want, you know, parents who are panicking, but you're saying, you know, if it's something persists, investigate it.
Definitely, you know, and I think like my mother had sort of a sixth sense, you know, that this is not right. So I'm going to encourage people to look on our website, on the Cupcakes of Hope .org website, because there are pamphlets over there in all 11 languages that actually describe the early warning signs of cancer. If I can just think of a few, it would be, you know, has sudden vision changes, or they're constantly pale and tired, which was one of my symptoms. I was pale and I was always tired. I had bruises all over me and a rash all over me constantly. Does the child have persistent infections, or are there lumps on the chest, on the tummy or their limbs or their glands? Are they having a lot of bone pain, or are their legs swollen and painful? These are just some of the warning signs that people can be alert for, to seek medical care rather sooner than later. But it is all on our website, so I'm encouraging people to go and have a look.
Natasha, thank you so much. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for sharing your story, being so amazing, being an ambassador, and yeah, just spreading these really important messages. And we try on this show as well, just this awareness, this early detection being so, so important. And just for those people who would want to get involved with Cupcakes of Hope, that on the 28th of September, you've got this National Cupcake Day. And please do go to the website, and all the details, I presume, Natasha, are on the website.
Yes, they are on the website. So if you want to be involved on National Cupcake Day, which is definitely the sweetest day of the year, you can just go onto our website and you can register at a mall closest to you. You can choose to bake how many ever cupcakes that you are able to bake, and whichever mall is close to you, you'll just deliver it in the morning. But they will send you an email with all the instructions after you have registered to help on Cupcake Day.
Wonderful. Dr. Natasha Daniels, thank you for joining us, and hope
thank you.
It is a huge, huge success.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you guys.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Dr. Natasha Daniels, childhood cancer survivor and now a Cupcake Angel ambassador. So it's a wonderful, wonderful day. It's a wonderful initiative.